What is reality? Is this real? And here we go.
Hello, my friends. Welcome to my podcast. And this is episode number 2. I finally got approved on iTunes. So if you listen to this podcast on iTunes, you already know. But if you listen to this podcast on podomatic.com, this is where I'm hosting it. It's out on iTunes, so you can go there and subscribe there if you wish. Or just stay here and listen to it here. Simple, right? Yeah, that's how I like it. Okay, guys, and today's episode has been brought to you by a noodle soup and rice crackers, because it's delicious and cheap. Guys, it's cheap, okay? So that's why. Today. Yeah. Oh, Mr. Beaver is back. Yeah, come on, man. Get out of here. This is not your podcast, Beaver. It's mine. So, okay, what are we going to talk about today? Today's topic will be the nature of reality. Sounds interesting? And actually, there is a lot to talk about, but we're not going to cover all of it today, because we only have 45 to 60 minutes. There's like a gazillion. There's many theories out there. And basically what we're going to do is I will just name a few, and then we're probably going to pick out my favorite two. Let's go with two. That's lots to talk about, guys. And so we could talk for hours, for days, for weeks, maybe. So I'm gonna give you basically like a little rundown, like I said, and we're gonna pick two of my favorites. If we can get to this, I will give you a little insight of my like own journey, how I came to believe in the theory that I believe in most, and yeah, just briefly we'll touch on that. And yeah, then we'll see where it takes us, guys. Like I said, I'm not doing this stuff like super professionally. It's gonna be fun, right? It's gonna be just the way I am, like, or many of us are. Yeah, we're gonna do it like this. It's gonna be fun. And we might have Mr. Caller. Like, I don't even know who's gonna call me today, but there might be someone, you know, that is actually knowledgeable when it comes to the nature of reality. And he might call me, or her. I don't even know, but no, not her, since I'm doing all the voices. Not her. And oh, now I spoiled it. Now you guys know. No, I'm not doing the voices. It's all real. Everything you hear in this show is 100% real. Believe it. Believe it. Live it. It's real. This is the nature of reality. And that's it for today, my friends. Not really. No, we're just about to begin. So let me just start with, okay, let's do it like this. I'm gonna give you a couple theories here, and I'm not gonna go into detail. And most of you, when you listen to this stuff, and like I said, the description for my podcast is philosophy. It's not really philosophy, but that was the closest thing that I could pick, which comes like close to what I'm doing here, because we're kind of philosophizing about it. It's kind of in the field of philosophy. It's everything I do is it's theorizing or philosophizing about it and talk about it, what we think is. And I think philosophy is talking about the nature of reality. So first episode comes really close. That's why you could find it under philosophy, and you probably were, or some of you were expecting like a college degree philosopher, you know, giving you a nice speech about what he learned over the years, and it just repeats what he learned in school and then adds his own little 5 cents. Nope, not with me. I'm a hobby philosopher, like many of us, and we're just trying to make sense of stuff that is inexplicable and interesting and out there, and stuff we would like to know. And I'm just a light on your path that maybe gives you some ideas that you can maybe use on your own path, and maybe it helps you a bit, or maybe not. Maybe you just listen to it and think to yourself, what a douchebag, which is fine too. I don't care. You know what? I can't be like friends with everybody, and not everybody can like me or like my stuff, which is, I totally accept it. I would still shake your hand. I wouldn't really care. See, I'm a nice guy, and I can live with it. I accept opinions, because I believe there's like 7.5 billion opinions on this planet, so I cannot really get offended by other opinions, right? Well, see, my friends, and if you live like this, there's not really lots of stuff that can anger you, that can ruin your mood. I'm usually in a pretty good mood, and I like to see everything in a like I don't take stuff too seriously, and we shouldn't do that, because it's all just a big TV show. It's all just a game. Life is just a game. Oh man, I'm breathing like a fat guy running up the stairs again. Two more flights of stairs, and I'm getting to my happy meal. No, a happy meal is probably not what a fat guy would eat. To my quadruple burgers and my poutine. That's something in Canada we eat. For you Americans, poutine. Poutine is actually not too bad, but it's just, I don't know, freaking gross, but it's good. So that's all I have to say as a German immigrant here in Canada. I think actually that poutine is not too bad, okay? There is a lot of cheese in it, and there is gravy, and also fries. And that all is mixed in a bowl. You throw it together in the bowl, and you mix it, and you have the cheese is melting, and it's like curd cheese, I believe, and it's really good, guys. It is delicious. 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 It's lecker. Of Deutsch, it's lecker. Well, yeah, okay. That's not how I talk. I know I should, because I'm a Germano, but no. So, nature of reality. Anyways, two topics. And it's difficult for me to pick only two. But, you know, I tried this before. This is actually my second recording. But I've been talking and talking and talking. And we only had like 3 theories covered and was already into like 90 minutes. So, no. We got to be a little bit more. Which I don't know if you noticed. It's very, very, very tricky to notice that it's not professional. But I'm an honest guy. I let you guys know. This, you know, I'm spoiling it right now. This is, you know, please. And, okay, for you guys that are not familiar with a typical German way or sense of humor is sarcasm. I know it's not big here in Canada. You know, I had to learn that many people took very, very literal, what I said. So they, you know, I said something stupid. I made a joke, because most people believe we don't have a sense of humor, which I find funny. We are funny, but our sense of humor is different, and we are more like sarcastic. We like sarcasm, and I love it. So when I say stupid shit, please, please, it's a joke. Okay? So, of course, this is not professional. So, and this is one of my favorite words too. Anyways, sir, listen to me. Oh, I have some good ones. I practice a little bit here and there, right? I practice impersonating stuff, and you're going to hear some stuff. And we're going to go on this journey together, guys. So you will basically walk with me from baby steps that I take to perfecting it. Well, isn't that something cool? We're going to go on a journey together. I think this is cool. So for you people that, you know, travel with me and plan on doing that for a while, hopefully it'd be cool, you know? Would be pretty funny. There's a joke here and there, some sarcasm, and some other stupid shit. And of course, try to, you know, spit some wisdom and spit some knowledge. And you know, that's kind of the concept I came up with. That I thought, there's nothing like this. Of course there is, but you know, I'm too lazy to search the freaking podcast websites for stuff that is like mine. I don't have the time, guys. You know, we gotta do something. I can't sit around and just look up a freaking podcast. I'm too busy.
Yes, I am.
So two topics, two theories out of many. I found at least 20. So okay, I'm gonna give you a couple, and I'm just gonna read like one or two sentences on each one, and then we'll do it together, guys. That's like a interactive thing here, right? So we're gonna do it together, but right now I'm gonna read you some, and then we'll decide on which ones we're gonna go into depth a little bit, into more detail. Okay, so what do we have here? Solipsism. Solipsism is a very fully. I can't say that freaking word, which is bad, because I'd like to read it to you. Try it again. Solipsism is a philosophical theory which states that nothing can be verified except the existence of one's own mind. This seems silly at first, and who, after all, would wish to deny that the world around them exists? The only problem is that it's impossible to verify the existence of anything except our own consciousness. I find it interesting. It's something that one definitely can think about and maybe draw one or two, you know, connect dots and draw some lines and yeah, thought about this theory for a while. I was kind of into this one. Then there is idealism. And idealism is the belief that all things exist as an idea in the mind, or more specifically, as an idea in someone's mind. So someone else basically thinks, or maybe dreams, and we are all products of someone else's mind. So we're not real. There's good movies on Netflix that I've watched. Actually, I watched a movie about this. I can't tell. Oh, I forgot the name, but it's there's some really good movies on that topic on Netflix. I like all this kind of stuff. Everything that kind of questions reality, goes into these kind of topics, time travel. That's all stuff I love to watch. Yeah, anyway, so that's this theory, basically. And George Berkeley, he was a famous idealist philosopher. He found that his views were dismissed as idiotic. I wonder, back in those times, eh? By some of his peers. It's said that one of his opponents closed his eyes, kicked a stone, and stated, "I refute it thus." So yeah, that's something that I definitely read before. I never really went into this theory very deep. I heard it though. Presentism is another one that basically states the past is just a memory and the future is just, it's not real. The only reality that you ever really will experience is the present. And that makes sense because you can talk about next Christmas or whatever you want, right? But you only experience it in the present. So, and the past, yeah. I mean, this already is just a memory. Everything is memory. This is basically what I believe is what we're going to go into this later. What this whole thing is based on. Everything is just memory. Well, that's interesting. Okay, but everybody comes up with their own stuff anyway, so. Okay, and then there's eternalism. It's basically the contrast to presentism. And that basically postulates that time actually has many layers and could perhaps be compared with a sponge cake. You know, all layers exist simultaneously, but the layer seen by a particular observer depends on where he's standing. So that's kind of like what quantum mechanics now suggest, you know, with the observer. And also, so basically it's like dinosaurs, World War II, or Lady Gaga all exist at the same time, but can only be viewed from a certain point. If that makes sense. It's definitely nothing that is easy to digest, but gives you something to think about if you're bored. And like I said, that experiment, you should really look it up. It's very interesting. If you're into quantum mechanics and try to understand the world on a smaller level, when it goes into the atom, the like the positron, electron, all that kind of good stuff, then yeah, grab a nice grab the book Quantum Mechanics for Dummies if it's out there. I don't know, maybe I should write one. It's good. Brain in the Vat is another one. Brain in the Jar, basically it's a brain. That picture looks funny. It's a brain in a big jar with a nice green liquid, and that theory states that we're basically just like, there's like a huge, whatever, like a room, plant, whatever, and there's a gazillion jars, vats, and those vats are brains, and those brains think and create, and this is what we basically experience. So basically, this body here is all just a creation of our minds, which ties into, and I mentioned that in my first episode, which ties into dreaming, not only lucid dreaming, but dreaming itself. Because, well, I give that little example. I'd like to look, when we talk about this kind of stuff, I like to say that when you dream and you walk around and then it's beautiful, first it's all like normal stuff, and all of a sudden there's a flying pig, right? And you look up there, oh, Mr. Flying Pig, totally normal, don't even question it. Then there's like a house that which floats in the air or whatever, and then all of a sudden, boop, you're sitting in a car, it's night, it's raining, you go on 250, which is totally normal that it happens, right? It happens. I mean, and all of a sudden you're somewhere else. That stuff happens, people. Let's be honest. So, and you have a body in that dream, and you don't question it, right? You never would say, this is weird. This is not who I am. So you think, yep, that's me. Man, that's cool. I'm a cool guy. I'm a cool girl. Yeah, I'm cool. No, you're not. You're just a dream figure. And that's basically what this brain in the vat theory says, is that we are just products of the brain that is in the vat and thinks all this to life and creates this whole universe, basically universe in a jar. that's a good one. The universe in the jar. Get yours today. If you are one of the first 100 customers, you get a second one for half the price. So you could own two universes and two jars. Yeah, something like that. Won't be funny. A theory that everybody heard already, like everyone has heard of this one, is the multiverse theory, which basically says that there is a infinite number of parallel worlds and universes. Basically, every time we think something or we make a decision, the universe and the timeline and everything splits, and there's a different universe. So there's basically, since we are 7.5 billion people that are making decisions every day, you know, you can only put the math together, and this is infinite. So it's not a number that we could ever know. And basically, and that theory is basically like, in one universe you might be freaking like the richest person on the planet. In another one, you could be a serial killer, or you could be a dog, or it could be a planet which had a atomic, a huge freaking nuclear war. And all my listeners, all you two people, and that third person there, thank you, yes. So all you three guys, I know you are smart, right? You understand what I'm trying to say here in a very simple way. I'm not really, you know, pulling out my freaking Professor Whip. You wouldn't believe, guys. I could confuse you, right? I could just spit some knowledge here, and I could spit wisdom, but I'm not doing that. I'm trying to keep it simple. So yeah, that's basically that exists. That what people believe in it. I can actually, this is something I could see, you know, that is maybe. Okay, we might go into this one actually later, because then we can talk more about it. And this is kind of like fictional realism. That's another theory. And that says basically everything we kind of think of, we come up with, exists somewhere else. So basically, the Avengers in our world, just, you know, a comic and movie heroes or whatever, in a different world, they might be real. Or Superman or Spidey or, you know, what we come up with. I mean, I believe anyways that whatever the human mind can think of, we can create, we can make, we can build. Just a matter of time and finding a way to do it. And that's the beauty of being in this reality as a human being, I believe. What just look at it. Whatever a human being think right now, the big thing is going to Mars. And it's in the human collective mind, because now everybody's like, we got to go up. We got to go back to the stars. And why that is, I don't know. Why is it in so many people that they, you know, have that feeling inside? It's not only that they watch a movie, like they have that feeling deep inside. I have to go back to the stars. I belong up there. Why is that? That's interesting. So that's the big thing right now, right? In our society is we got to leave this planet. Why? It's kind of, I don't know. Maybe they know something we don't. Or maybe it's just something that we have to do. That's a program. That's an, you know, that is something that has to happen. This is our way. It's predestined. Could be, right? Anyway, so that they say that universe could be somewhere that you know, it's called fictional realism. I never really heard too much about, I mean, I heard about it, not too much though, and I don't really, that's not something that I would really, because that's like multiverse kind of, just added a little bit like, well, let's see. Okay. Another very interesting one is our universe is a computer simulation. And right now is a very popular person. He's well known, Elon Musk. And he basically says himself, and it's not, he didn't come up with it, right? There's scientists, and there was a German one, a team of German physicists actually. And I'm going to read it to you guys, because that's definitely one of the two that I'm going to go into, because that's my favorite, actually, of the theories that are out there. And then there's something that, of course, everybody has heard about. So, yeah, and basically he states, too, that the chances that we are not living in a simulation is very, very rare. So basically he is implying that we are basically living in a simulation, and he wants to do anything he can possibly do to crack the code and to get out of this simulation, which I don't think, we're definitely going to talk about this. This is, like I said, this is one of the, of my, if not the most interesting and favorite theory, which I believe myself pretty much. But I'm going to read you this one still. I'm going to read you about the good Germans, since I'm German. I like this one. Okay. I'm going to read one sentence. There's so much stuff. It says, a team of German physicists think that eventually we will be able to paint a better portrait of the so-called new numerical simulation that is our universe. They are working to create a mini simulation that requires physical constraints in order to run. They want to see if those same constraints exist in our universe. So they want to recreate a simulation which basically represents our universe. And they believe that we are living in a sort of computer simulation. Yep. And the multiverse, we heard about that. It's really good. Dark matter creates its own parallel universe. It's good. Then there's the one which states that in each black hole, basically it's another universe, and it's like never ending. So that it's a black hole in our universe. We have a black hole basically in the center of every galaxy, they say. That's what scientists, that's basically what they agree upon. It's the latest. They say, yep, every galaxy has a massive black hole in the center of the galaxy. And what this one theory states is that if we could travel through that black hole, we would basically go to another universe. And then just think about it. You go into that universe, and then there will be, if it's like ours, there will be galaxies, most likely, with more black holes. And you go through those black holes, boom. So it's never ending. It's like a Swiss cheese, but just never ending, infinite, right? That's one theory, the black hole theory, which is interesting. Like I said, there's so much stuff, and basically we could talk about this stuff for days. We could talk about it for days. Yes, we could. There is, the Great Glaciation, guys. And this theory describes the direction on and final state of the universe. Oh yeah, okay, I heard about it. Basically, what they are saying is the universe only has a finite amount of energy that it can use. And they believe once all this energy is used up, the last molecule commits its final vibration. The universe will be dark, cold, silent place, devoid of life. And like I said, I covered solipsism a lot when I started this journey. Mr. White. Hey, Mr. White. Are you okay, Mr. White? That doesn't sound like Jesse, eh, guys? Shit. I'd like to talk like Jesse. That's cool. Bitch. What's up, my friend? No, that wasn't. He doesn't say what's up, my friend. But he says, bitch. Hey, Mr. White, bitch. Okay. Yeah, Jesse. Mr. Jesse Pinkman. So, and basically, maybe we get someone today to call us that is a little bit more educated on the topic of the nature of reality, maybe, hopefully, because there's lots and lots and lots to talk about. Okay, I'm just gonna read here, and you guys just have to bear with me. The Plato and the Logos. Yeah, no thanks. Not today. Not today. We covered the brain in the vat. Yeah, we did all this shit. Okay. So, let's see. What are we going to cover today? We will be doing okay, yeah, that's pretty. Yeah, that's cool stuff. That really gets you into trance, guys. Try this. The lotus seed. Sit there, breathe, do your technique, and just say this. It works. It's cool. We're gonna cover the simulation for sure. Simulation is always like one of the good ones. And we're gonna cover. Why not? Because we can. We're gonna cover. Let's do eternalism. That's something that I, and because I can kind of draw some connections to basically what I myself believe and have seen on one of my journeys to opening up my consciousness and understanding the universe more, which I'd like to do. So yeah, eternalism and simulation. That's what we're going to do. So let's start with theory number one. We are living in a simulation, which currently has been made popular again by Elon Musk. And now they say Elon Musk came up with it, which is not true. He there's many people that already thought about it. The Wachowski brothers, or now sisters, that actually produced and made these Matrix movies, already believed in this theory. And actually a philosopher named Nick Bostrom, in 2003, he published his theory where he suggested that future generations will be able to create computers so powerful that we will not be able to distinguish between reality and simulation. And excuse me, you have to remember, in 2003, our computers were pretty bad from looking at it now. Of course, back then it was the latest shit, right? But they weren't powerful enough. And so they say every time it takes technology, let's say 2 years to double its capacities or whatever. But the more we advance and the more we develop more powerful technology, the quicker this, or the shorter this gap will be. So look back to 2003. Now we have 2017, and we already have virtual reality. Google is planning a virtual marketplace where you can upload your freaking a version of your virtual self, and just, I don't know, people won't be leaving their places soon, the way it goes, because everybody loves this virtual reality thing, and I do too, but I still like to go outside every now and then and be in nature and, you know, see what's going on outside. But just think about it. Future generation kids, they won't know this shit. They will have their glasses on, their freaking VR glasses, and that's their reality. And it's, see, so that's already a different reality to them, right? And I mean, I'm not talking 2025. I'm talking like 50 years from now, or even like 70. It's funny. We always look at stuff and try to, and from our perspective that we have at the time, and our understanding that we have at the time, which totally doesn't reflect what's actually going to happen, because before we built planes, they said it would never be possible to fly, and science said that. So later science had to acknowledge, yeah, okay, man can fly. Then when they built the first car, which I find pretty funny when I read that, scientists said the human body wasn't made to withstand speeds higher than 30 kilometers per hour. So, which is very funny if you think about how fast we're driving today. And that is only like 150 years old, 120, something like that. So it's not really that far in the past. So, I mean, back then we thought we couldn't go faster than 30 kilometers an hour, which we clearly can do, right? So some people do that on a bike now. And so all I'm saying is, even scientists can be wrong, because, again, we try to understand stuff, and that's in our nature. I totally understand that a human being thinks in this one lifetime it has, because it thinks it only has this one lifetime. Nihilistic view, right? And it thinks, okay, and I need to understand everything in this one life, which is not possible. And that's why I believe, live many lives. That's why we have a soul that's on a soul journey and lives many lives until we reach what they call enlightenment or full understanding of what's going on. And then I think the path, that's what Buddha meant, that's the final step. You go back to the source. That's when you find out, it's been a nice program. I've been living in a software or a program or whatever else is reality, because we don't know. It's all just theory. Nobody knows, right? So that's what I like. That's how I look at it. And that's why I never get angry when someone tells me, you know, what you're talking about is bullshit. Well, maybe, I don't know. But what do you have? What can you tell me? Like, do you, and funny, proof. What do you mean proof? We can't prove nothing. How can I prove this? How can I prove that we are living in a simulation? We're not meant to, you know, to find that out, right? We're not meant to. And, which would suck anyway. Just imagine we would tell people, guys, you know, you are basically just a part of a program. People would flip out. That's not, no, now I see all this. Now I see why sometimes, even if the government, for example, everybody, the government knows, and they, you know, yes, of course they know everything. No, they don't. And even if they would know, because they had, let's say, a super scientist and he's smarter than Elon Musk or Neil deGrasse Tyson and all these people that are very popular right now and that put forth that theory of the simulation, that make it popular again and bring it up again. Because I think the time now is right for us to start thinking about it again. On the other hand, I think when a civilization, basically like ours, we are pretty far advanced still. We can, you know, communicate all over the planet within seconds. We can fly anywhere we want. We can cure people, you know, that just 50 years before died of some, let's say, illnesses or diseases, which we can now cure. So look at it like from that perspective. We are far advanced already. We are trying to get up into space. It's on our minds now. This is humanity's goal, so we're going to do it. But I believe that once humanity, like the collective mind, the collective consciousness, like that means everybody accepts it as a fact. And I believe that starts a cataclysm where basically the software that we are all living in, or that we are all being programmed by, that the software will basically do a defragmentation. it's kind of like, so it says basically, okay, well, they you know, have advanced to that point. It's like a loop, basically. That's what I've seen. It's like a loop. So every time we get to that certain point, restart or reboot or, you know, defragmentation. And that's, I believe, let's say we have proof here of higher advanced civilizations that have lived here. And sometimes, you know, they found geologists or whatever, they find stuff that is 3 million years old. You know, it has been created by an intelligence. They have found that ancient clock that they say is at least 1.5 million years old. I don't want to make stuff up now, but I've read where they actually found stuff, or that bridge that's somewhere, I believe New Zealand connects New Zealand or Australia or something down there. And that bridge, they say they have a picture. They say it to be like 2.5 million years old, and it looks man-made. So is this possible? Well, if you think about the simulation, the program that basically writes itself again and does a let's say defragmentation, and then boom, start all over with, and could be, right? It could be, because in a defragmentation, let's say you defrag your computer, it is possible to access stuff that was there, that is not totally being deleted, and that could be leftovers from that defrag. Even though I believe if there's such a computer that, you know, does all this and creates this, it's probably like it doesn't make any mistakes, but it could be. That is basically that theory. And yeah, like I said, I like this theory a lot. And let me just read you a few sentences. And if it's a good simulation, they say it should be able to rewind, erase the memory of the glitch. If there's a glitch, let's say there's something that we find from an older, high advanced civilization, and we are not supposed to find it because it kind of boosts our evolution and our development. And they don't, you know, and there's a certain, let's say it says, like the ancient Mayans said, every 25,000 years. That's kind of what they came up with, that program that overwatches us. And it says, no, wait, they're not supposed to. It should be able to go back and fix it. And it says here, then the simulated beings have no memory of it ever happening, which I can see as well. I would argue that nothing ever will be 100% perfect. It doesn't matter what it is. Maybe that one energy that created us all, the universal consciousness, I think. Elon Musk, his company is Tesla and SpaceX. Very smart person, very, very rich. And he said he wants to do anything in his power to break out of this simulation, which basically, according to that one theory, like these guys are saying too, there could be infinite amounts of theories, because we don't know how long that cycle, how old that cycle is, when it started first, and it could be just looping and looping for, you know, a very long time. And so it could be infinite amounts of simulations out there. So even if he could break out this simulation, he probably most likely would land in a simulation that was being simulated by higher beings, which was simulated. So it is kind of pointless to try that, I would say, because I would say we're not able to escape this simulation. So he does all this, and he is very, very convinced. He's the guy that said there's a 1 in a billionth chance that we are not living in a simulation. So yeah, that's that theory. And like I said, we can keep talking. And if you three guys agree, let me know on Twitter or Facebook that you want more. Just let me know, and we can talk about it again. It gives me more to talk about. But for now, this is the theory of we are living in a simulation, which is very interesting. The other one that I was trying to cover here is eternalism. And this is something, too, that I really like. That's basically the theory of time itself or time travel. Because time is a dimension. The same as space is a dimension. And that all points of time, meaning the past, present, and the future, exist simultaneously. So that makes time travel possible, right? If time exists simultaneously, because basically you could, if you have the right technology or you find a way to do it, because everything basically exists right now. So it theoretically would be possible. And yeah, I'm just reading, guys. It's too. It also would make time travel pointless. Depends on how you look at it, though, because it still doesn't change that you from what we perceive as time. You would be, let's say, you travel back to the 1492 and accompany Mr. Columbus on his way to discovering America, what he back then called India. You still would, you know, experience that and. It would be a very different experience. Or you could go into the future and have flying cars and live in whatever glass houses or whatever they have back, you know, not back, but in the future. So from that standpoint on, I would say it wouldn't make it pointless. Well, I can kind of see what he means by that, because everything just happens in the now, but since we cannot perceive it, everything, which would drive us crazy, just imagine you would basically perceive everything right now. It's not only your past, it's like everything. It's like go back in time from the beginning to the end. You would experience it all now. It would, yeah, let's just say our little chips up here, our little brains, were not made for this. We are still like a Commodore 64 or an Amiga computer back, if not even older. Like we are just not made for this. We don't have the capacity to even grasp this concept. And I have to mention again, and this is what I love about this life. I love it. You know, when you come to realize all this and go on on the journey that I went on, I'm pretty sure that all you guys are on your journey and want to believe something, right? That you want to understand what's going on in this world, in this universe, and what's reality, and everybody has their little ideas, and this is all fine, guys. And what I love about it is doesn't matter who comes up with what, and even Nick Bostrom or Elon Musk, even though he's the smartest person in the world, Einstein, it doesn't matter what name you throw at me, just a theory. Nobody has any proof. It's all just what we basically came up with from our understanding of the universe. And there's that one person, and he, oh my gosh, that was one of the best quotes. I like this quote. Oh yeah, David Lynch said it on consciousness, and that guy is brilliant too. I love him. And he basically said, if you have a golf ball sized mind, and I think this is what humanity has, right? We still are very, very early in our path, I would say time loop, because it repeats itself over and over. So he said, if you have a golf ball sized mind, you will have a golf ball sized understanding of the universe. When you read a book, you will have a golf ball sized mind understanding of that book. The Bible, right? I mean, there's lots of stuff in it that probably makes a lot of sense, but we don't have that understanding. We don't have that. We have the golf ball sized mind right now. Basically, it applies to everything. If your mind is golf ball sized, you perceive everything golf ball sized. So open your mind, try to educate yourself. And of course, it is easier said than done, because everything you find nowadays, of course, is written by someone else. So basically, you're reading someone else's opinions and theories, but you still can come to your own conclusions. I mean, you can't travel up to space, like I said before. You can't really get the 100% proof, but nobody has ever gotten that. So don't worry about it. Just read whatever you want, listen to whatever you want, listen to this here. And even if you, after this, think, oh shit, I just wasted like, so where are we at right now? It's 56 minutes. Okay, I'm going to cut this. It probably might be a little bit less when you hear this part, because I'm going to cut definitely some stuff out. Even though I do have a very lovely voice, and you love to listen to it, but anyway, so yeah, even though you listen to me philosophizing, and you know, it's all just stuff that freaking is in my brain, that is me trying to understand the universe and if there's someone, like I said, there could be someone calling me tomorrow and, you know what, I have the truth, listen to me. And now you got to listen what I have to tell you, because my stuff is true, yours is not. You know, all I would have for this person be basically a smile and understanding, because he might be on a, you know, he might be somewhere else on his path, or maybe he knows more, but he can't prove it, I can't prove it. So it's all good, guys. It's beautiful. It's just lovely that everybody tries to come up with something, right? And as long as we don't push it and try to convince people. Okay, guys, so this here is actually something that I came up with. And I'm proud, because, like I said, I came up with it. And basically it comes from me trying to understand, because people are asking me, right? Because I went on my personal journeys, and it involves a little bit of some substances that basically helped me to gain higher consciousness, and you know, because some call it the easy way. I can't meditate, like I said, so I had to find a different way. So there was a tea that basically helps. Google it. It's interesting. I'm not going to tell you where to find something. Just going to give you the name. It's called ayahuasca, or however you guys said, it's ayahuasca. The active agent is dimethyltryptamine, which is in every living being, and basically creates all these divisions and dreams, or they say near-death experiences. That stuff is freaking amazing. So, and people, you know, I talk to friends or whatever, and people I know about it, and of course then they want to know, how is it? I explain it to me, and I say it's hard to explain. It's just something you have to experience for yourself. And I explain it like this. It's like I could tell you, I could explain to you all day long how freaking awesome that cola is, how I love it, and you would maybe get a glimpse, an idea of how good it might be. You don't know for sure until you have tried it yourself. And the thing with this is, with these experiences, basically, these journeys, I call them, and I went on four journeys so far, is with that same example. It's like, again, I'm using my example here, Coca-Cola. Oh, now I said it, whatever. I'm not getting paid for this. Coca-Cola tastes freaking amazing. And this is something that I'm basically, I know, but right, you know what I'm trying to say, guys. So I have to go upstairs, grab one from the fridge, drink it, and then I know for sure. And this is basically how it is on those journeys. You, let's say, drink that tea, because that's all I do. I don't smoke. I'm a non-smoker. I don't smoke. Never did. I drink that tea, and basically, when you are on that journey, then you understand. And then it's not a theory. Then you are in one with the universe. Then you understand it 100%. And that's funny, because then, and many of you might have tried it and kind of, you know, smile now because they have had the same experience. And because when you are in that state of consciousness, it's like you're basically laughing at how simple our minds really are, and how our golf ball sized mind, our golf ball sized understanding. Because back then you understand everything. And you're like, okay, time travel, yeah, sure. Or reincarnation, or whatever you are interested in. It's all simple. And it's not only that you think, yeah, time. No, you see how it works, and you know just everything about it. But you find it so pointless to bring it with into this reality, because in this reality, it's not meant to be in this reality. This is for something that comes later after our experience in this reality. And this is what humans need to understand. Death is not the end, right? And like I said, I believe in reincarnation. I'm not a nihilist, because that's the belief that there's no life after death. But anyways, that people can believe whatever they want. I don't care. It's not up to me. So from that perspective, it is hard to explain to people when you come back, because, I mean, you still have all these, you know, again, memories of that experience, right? And you try to, you're trying to grasp what you just saw, and my latest one, you're just sitting there and see you smiling, because it's such a deep understanding within you, just like you're connected, and you just understand, and you look at things, and you just smile, and you understand why it happens. And then 2 days later, it's not so clear anymore, but you still, you know, you draw from that experience again, the memories. And basically, you have to just incorporate that into your everyday life, it helps you. It helps with like everyday life. It really helps. And because I thought back then, I thought, you know, what is this shit all good for? I have all this shit in my head, can talk to anybody, and yeah, I'm running around with this freaking knowledge, and I can't talk to anyone. I can't use it. Fuck yeah, it's just there taking up space in my mind, which I probably should rather use for stuff I need in this world. But no, why? No, I'm not like a sheep. I'm not a sheep. I'm not like everybody else. I'm saying it like it is. I want to understand more. I want to know what's really, and we will never find out. I will never find out, but I'm trying to get close. And like I said, from what I have seen, and this is eternalism, is basically basically we have to find out. Oh, and I believe I do have a caller, and he is a little bit more knowledgeable when it comes to the theory of eternalism and nihilism, and I hope he's calling me soon. I will let you guys know. And this basically eternalism is the philosophy or the theory of time, you know, which is very interesting. Like I said, it's a question that's been on humankind's mind forever. All the big minds were touching on this topic and were trying to come up with an understanding, which, like I said, it's not possible. It's just not something we are supposed to do. So back to the theory. Like I said, it doesn't mean that because you can't see it according to this one, right? But it does exist. It does exist all at the same time. So they say the day you are born in Paris is as current as the day you die in Cairo. And so is every other moment of your life. That's what they basically say. So it's all current. It's everything happens in the now. Read Eckhart Tolle. It's fantastic. That stuff really helps. But anyway, they say there's no logical reason other than the subject, the feeling that one has, basically. That any one of your moments that you have in your life is more current or valid than others. That's true because you experience all these moments in the now. So it has all the same the value. Validity. Is it validity or is it value? Let me just look it up, guys. Sorry, my English is not so good. I hate that when they say that because nobody really gives a shit, right? When you see that in forums, somebody writes something, validity. Okay, it's validity. Let me see here. Validity. Let's see.
Validity.
Validity. Oh, validity. Okay, so I hate that in forums. You know, there's that one guy, he writes an essay and all of a sudden, sorry for my bad English. Nobody cares, man. Like, really, I believe what they want, and that's ego. What they want is just, they want people to tell them, no, your English is awesome. What I like about it is nobody gives a shit and nobody actually responds, because I hate that, man. I never do that. You know what? If there's something wrong, just tell me and good, you know, and I can learn from it. And if not, whatever. And we're not going to learn. So that's validity. That's what it is. Okay. So there is no really like there's no different validity. And you know, it's basically the same. It's current. It's the present, no matter the experience. Every moment you live feels to you at that moment as the real moment. So yeah, because that's the only thing you can really experience is the present moment, right? And that's why Mr. Tolle says you have to cherish it. You have to live in the moment because that's the only moment you really experience. That's freaking like the mind fuck. Be careful, guys. When you think about this kind of shit, take one or two aspirins because you might get a headache. And the eternalism view presents time travel paradoxes. If all moments in time exist simultaneously, then all moments are happening simultaneously. Yeah, so that's really interesting. That's something that really one should read up on. I mean, like if you haven't thought about it, and I think we all asked ourselves already, what is time? And what's the nature of time? And there is another good thing that I have to say before I get to the caller, and then it's almost over. This body will eventually die, but the energy will not. So they say you can explain it like this. Let's say there is an electric chair, and there's a window, and there's a room, and behind that freaking window sits a group of observers. And there's the guy that pushes that button. And they say that it's a 50-50 scenario. In scenario number one, the guy pushes the button and the group witnesses nothing. The person lives. Nothing happened. And everybody's like, oh, he lives? Person, yep, I live. Scenario number two, the guy pushes the button. The group witnesses the person die. But the person itself cannot experience it because consciousness can't die. So what happens? From the person's perspective, he still lives. Right? Or my theory, that's what they say. My theory is when we die, like this, suddenly, we just basically jump to another existence. Like we jump into a different life. Like a dream. Because have you ever questioned when you start dreaming and all of a sudden you have maybe a family or a different girlfriend, and none of us really ever questioned, oh no, this is not my family, my wife. Oh. No, we don't, right? We just accept it. And I think this is kind of what happens to us when we die. Yeah, I think that's kind of what happens, is you are being thrown in a different into a different reality, or maybe even into just one of your lives in a parallel dimension, a universe. And that's kind of what I believe, because like I said, consciousness, and it's not that I came up with it, it's just something. Energy doesn't die, in consciousness is energy, and it can't, like it cannot perceive its own death. It's not that it, oh, I'm, you know, maybe the body, right? But it won't realize that. It just will, according to my own theory, jump into just a different existence. There is definitely, there's so much more to this existence, and it's going to be nice to go on a journey and try to figure stuff out and talk about stuff more, and maybe even, you know, interact with you guys if you guys want, and why not? I would do it. Depends on, of course, what. And so now it's time for the caller, actually. This time, and I'm not supposed to say any names. I don't know why, because I'm not famous or something. They don't want to be recognized, but he is basically he works at the university. I can't say which one. And he studied the theory of eternalism and time travel. And he studied Buddhism and is basically trying to call me right now. Okay, let's see if he's on the phone. Sir, hello. Sir, can you hear me? So, hello? Gotcha. I can hear you, sir. How are you?
Okay, I'm calling back because, you know, I am I'm a professor too. Not only an actor, but I am a professor too. And basically, I can tell you something about eternalism that you cannot even know because
that's
you forgot it. Because, but we, you know, according to this theory, we already have been talking, and this is all just a memory. Isn't this fantastic?
It is. It is.
Yeah, yes, I know. Anyways.
Young man, I like it.
So, because I'm just a human being, basically, even though I am a Hollywood star and a professor, and there's many more things that you will hear from me.
I hope you're interesting. You're very interesting.
Yes, that is true. Yeah, yes, thank you.
You are.
Yeah, anyways, it's just that you are listening to this right now, because it's you that is always trapped in the moment that you are living, right?
Okay.
Exactly. The future only seems full of endless possibility because you can't see it.
Wow.
But it really already happened all, you know. Or remember the decisions you're going to make. And this is exactly why me too, I don't believe in free will. Right? Because how can you be? Everything already happened.
That is true. That is true.
I mean,
that's exactly what I believe, sir. That's exactly what I believe.
Well, I think this is why we were created. We are not able to remember the future as we do the past.
Exactly.
Because we can't remember the past. It's a memory, like you said. I like that theory of yours, right?
Yes. Okay, yeah, that's true.
And if we knew the entirety of our lives from beginning to end, how could we have any drive to live them? And that, to me, makes so much sense that already this one basically has sold me, right? That theory.
It does make a lot of sense when you listen to it, but...
Well, yeah. Well, this is, you know, we can go on and on, but
yeah.
Again, my young friend, I don't have... you know, too much time right now, because I am actually waiting for someone here. I am in the office and we're going to talk about big things coming up. And maybe one day, I can promise you, young man, I will visit you in your studio and we're going to have a nice long chat.
That would be highly appreciated, sir.
Yes, and that is true.
Oh, nice.
Absolutely. You know, but the show must go on. That's as I always say.
It must.
The show must go on. This is something I came up with, basically, right?
Yeah.
So, and remember, and I want to say for last time when I mentioned paying, of course, you know, paying.
for my
services. I was going to say, oops, not service. I mean, you know, it's just between friends, really, is what it is. So how could you? You are paying me already with putting me on the podcast.
Because what a guy.
It's a beautiful podcast. But really, you know, yes, eternalism is the way to go, guys. Get a t-shirt which says eternalism. Yeah,
absolutely.
Exactly.
I got one already.
Okay, Mr. Signore Mystery. It's your name, I heard. You told them your name. That's great. That's great. Yeah.
Yep.
Signore Mystery. I like it. I like it a lot. Okay, guys. So thank you very much for having me on this podcast.
Thank
this
you, sir.
Real with
very well.
Signore Mystery. And I have to go now. Okay? Have a good one. Bye now.
Bye-bye, sir. Okay. That was interesting, guys. He had a little bit more to say today, which I liked. Well, he seemed a bit more smart today than he seemed last time, because he was all about himself last time, if you can remember. He was talking about being a big Hollywood star and stuff. I was kind of like, who's this dude? Well, I know who he is, but... So, yeah, that's interesting. Eternalism. So, yeah, he's a big believer. I mean, there's nothing really to believe, because to me, that's one of the theories that make more sense. Yeah, guys, Google it. It's simple, eternalism, and read about it. And if there's anything you would like to add, or if you think, you know, this deserves a sequel, basically, let me know. I'm going to give you my, scusi, as Signore Mystery would say, scusi, right? Okay. So I'm going to give you my Twitter, and I'm going to give you my email. I'm not going to give you my email. I'm going to give you my Facebook page name. And it's very simple. That's, you know, basically it's called, or you're going to type in facebook.com/Signore Mystery. It's SignoreMystery. Mystery. Signore Mystery. And then you're gonna find my page, Is This Real with Signore Mystery. That's my podcast. Is This Real? Okay. Same thing actually goes for Twitter. I'm gonna go on Twitter, twitter.com, and then it's /slash Signore Mystery. Same thing. Twitter.com, Signore Mystery. SignoreMystery, Signore Mystery, guys. So look it up, and yeah, what can I say? Leave a comment, please, guys. I'd be happy if you guys left me a comment, and you know, no hard feelings. And if you didn't like it, just let me know. So that's the only way I can actually change something. Or I'm not going to change the whole concept of this podcast, but. Well, if there's one or two things, let's say you say speak up, or I don't know, something. Maybe you can insert a little bit more music because we know you are a composer and we would like to hear about, or we would like to hear music. Well, ask me. I can definitely do that, guys. So, yeah, that's my Twitter and that's my Facebook. Go online, leave a comment, follow me on Podomatic. It's Podomatic, podomatic.com. That's where I am hosting my podcast, podomatic.com. And, of course, also now on iTunes. That's the holy grail. You got to be on iTunes, right? I'm going to, like I said, I will try to publish on Google Play as well, of course. We gotta keep it fair. And, yeah, and basically we'll be thinking about my next episode and a good topic. And like I said, if someone actually really wants to leave a comment, even if you're interested in something that boggles your mind, let me know. We can talk about anything that is out of the supernatural, inexplicable, whatever you want to call it, metaphysical nature of reality. I love this kind of shit, and I'd like to talk about it. So let's do this together, guys. Okay, this is it for now. It's been a good time. Sitting down here, not knowing how many people will listen to this, but at least I could let it out, and that's good. So, thanks for listening, my friends, and have a good night. Bye-bye.